creeds. In one hadith which is narrated by one of our scholars of the 4th century, Sheikh Saduq, in a book known as Al-Khisar. This is a book in which Sheikh Saduq collects different ahadith that have numbered attributes. So for example, a hadith that mentioned 3 or 4 or 5 attributes and characteristics by the Prophet or by the Imams, either characteristics that may be a source of salvation or that may have a good effect on a person's life or a negative effect, all of those ahadith that consist of numbers or attributes that come in certain groups. They are collected in this book called Al-Khisar, and it has been used by our ulama as sort of a textbook of ethics or akhlaq throughout history, because many of those ahadith, they consist of traditions, sayings of the Prophet and the Imams that have to do with ethics and principles that we should strive to adopt in our daily lives or avoid. In one of those traditions, there is a hadith from our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. In which he mentions the same 5 basic principles of Sharia that we have seen in some of the earlier ahadith. The Imam says, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam has been established or has been built on 5 basic principles. Iqam al-Salat wa ita' al-Zakat wa Hajj al-Bayt wa Sawm al-Shahri Ramadan wa al-Wilayati lana Ahl al-Bayt. So the 5 basic principles of Islam are the establishing of the prayer, the giving of zakat, the pilgrimage to the Kaaba, the fasting of the month of Ramadan, and the wilayat, or the relationship to Ahlul Bayt. And this includes the obedience to the Prophet and to the Imams, as we have explained. Wilaya is a comprehensive concept that includes Tawheed and obedience to not just God, but then the Prophet of God, and not just the Prophet of God, but those appointed by the Prophet as his successors. So all of this is incorporated within the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, because it comes from the authority granted to them by God. So this part of the hadith we have seen before, narrated by several of our imams, by many of the companions of the imams, in which the imams defined these 5 basic principles as essential to Islam. In this hadith, the fifth imam expands on these 5 principles and differentiates between the 4 acts of worship on the one hand, and the relationship to and the obedience to that wilayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam on the other hand. He says, فَجَعَلَ فِي أَرْبَعٍ مِّنْهَا رُخْصَةً. With regard to 4 of these 5 basic principles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some leeway, some rukhsa. There is not that hard and fast requirement to practice all of those other important principles of Islam. There is some area where a person can have flexibility. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ فِي الْوِلَايَةِ رُخْصَةً. But as for the wilayat, there is no rukhsa. There is no leeway. There is no area where it can be compromised. مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ مَالْ لَمْ تَكُنْ عَلَيْهِ الزَّكَاةِ. So, with regard to zakat, it's not obligatory on many people. Those who don't have wealth, zakat is not obligatory upon them. And for many of us, even if we do have some forms of wealth, zakat may still not be obligatory upon us. There is a certain minimum requirement of gold or silver or livestock or grains that a person needs to have in order for zakat to become obligatory. And even in an economy where the currency is based on gold and silver, even in an agricultural society where many people do have domesticated animals or will have grains, a majority of those people will probably not be liable for zakat because it will not reach that minimum requirement, that minimum threshold, after which zakat becomes obligatory. So zakat is a pillar of Islam. It's an essential teaching of Islam. But many, or perhaps most believers, will not be liable for zakat. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ مَالٌ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ حَجٌ. A person who does not have that level of wealth where they can be said to be mustatir, able to perform hajj without causing difficulty to themselves or to their families. Hajj is not obligatory on them. They can perform hajj even if they have to save up in order to be able to make the journey. But it isn't an obligation for anybody who is not able to easily make that journey without causing difficulty for their own lifestyle and that the lifestyle of their family. مَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا صَلَّى قَاعِدًا. As for prayer, it isn't that those of us who are not healthy or those of us who don't have a lot of time don't have to pray. The rukhsa in prayer is not that people don't have to pray, but that if a person is sick, they don't have to pray standing up. And here again, the standard is not that we have to pray standing up unless it's going to kill us. If it's going to be harmful for us, if it's going to cause difficulty, cause us to get more sick or injury, for example, for it to get worse, even if it's physically possible for us to pray standing up, but with difficulty or with hardship, we don't have to do so. So Allah has given flexibility even with regard to prayer. The most important, as we have seen in previous ahadith, the most important of the pillars upon which Islam is based is prayer. And we have many ahadith, which we will come to, that under no state can a Muslim abandon prayer. So that, for example, if there is a person who does not have anything to wear and to cover themselves with when they are praying, they still need to pray. If a person is drowning and the time for prayer comes and they're in the middle of the ocean, they still should pray. And there are ahadith and there are rulings in our books of fiqh that detail how a person should pray in those different situations. So the prayer does not ever fall by the wayside. But Allah has given rukhsa, has given leeway, that we don't have to pray standing up with all of the particulars if it's not possible or if it's not something that we can do with ease. So all of these pillars of Islam, in spite of their importance, have some leeway. مَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا صَلَّى قَائِدًا وَأَفْطَرَ شَهْرَ رَمَضَانٍ. And with fasting also, such a person can break their fast, or if they are sick from the beginning of the day, they do not need to fast. In some cases, they won't even be liable for making up the fast. So if they have an illness that continues until they die, for example, then they will miss the fast of Ramadan, and they are not liable for it at all. وَالْوِلَايَةُ صَحِيحًا كَانَ أَوْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ ذَا مَالٍ أَوْ لَا مَالَ لَهُ فَهِيَ لَازِمٌ. But as for the wilaya, as for the obedience to the Prophet and the Imams, it is an obligation whether a person be healthy or sick, whether a person be wealthy or poor. فَهِيَ لَازِمٌ. It is a necessity. So if we ever have seen a hadith or maybe heard in different lectures or majalis that out of all of the teachings of Islam, that wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, the wilaya of the Prophet and the Imams is the most important. Sometimes it may seem that this is compromising the importance of the other principles and the other teachings of Islam. But that is not the case. It isn't to say that prayer is not important. It is not to say that fasting is not important, or hajj is not important, or zakat is not important. But it is, in the first place, to say that there is a qualitative difference. All of those have certain exceptions in which either they are not necessarily performed, or they will be performed in a different way. But wilayat is something which must be performed and must be maintained under all circumstances, number one. And as we have seen in other ahadith, the wilaya also is something that ties together all of the other obligations and principles of the Sharia that gives them their deeper meaning and allows them to benefit the individual and the